Hey, I'm Jack Paul.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Travis J.
It's Darren Isaacs.
Hey, this is DJ Hannibal in the mix.
Hey, Soul Nation, this is IFBB Pro, Neil Hamilton.
This is Kadar Clark.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is your boy Nate from Nate Bates.
What's up, beautiful people? It's your boy Stack.
Family, how you doing? It's your boy Todd Marshall, your next generation leader and your musical entrepreneur.
This is Addis Hyland, founder of the Bahamian Icon Awards, and you're listening to
It's Your Time to Soar.
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 You're tuned into It's Your Time to Soar.
It's your time to soar.
It's your time to soar.
With my brother, Felici Ranger.
Hello and welcome to It's Your Time to Soar. If this is your first time tuning in, know to inspire, motivate, and impact. Welcome back, Soar Nation. On this episode today, we have an amazing gentleman with me. I wouldn't even speak of all of his accolades, but I just want to welcome to the podcast with us, Soar Nation, the real DJ Ignite. Ignite, are you ready to take flight?
Ready to take flight, man. Thanks for having me on board with the whole Soar Nation. So let's get it. Let's see how it goes.
Definitely,
there.
Definitely. It's Soar Nation. Listen to me. It's been a long time coming. I almost had to send the CIA, the FBI, to try to locate this guy.
Try
to get
to find
him.
Me.
But he's here now. Ignite, for those who may not know who you are at this point, can you give us just a brief bio about yourself?
Yeah, DJ Ignite, obviously. Took a long start back about 8-9 years ago. I think we kickstarted this journey at the local Charlie's Club. I say that's when I had my first real shot. I couldn't even play music. I just had a great idea, a great image, a great representation of what I wanted a DJ to look like at the present time versus right. what it was. Right. And I went out there and it had a crowd. It generated, you know, ticket sales, put it like that.
Right.
So I basically learned how to play while I built my fan base, but also helped, you know, the guys who I'm working with at the present time and push the whole market forward. Like I said, I could not play first, but I understand like marketing very well.
Right.
And I understand how music should be played. I just need to learn how to play it. Yeah, right. Basically on the instruments. And then afterward, the rest is history. I just went on my own journey and made it happen the way I wanted to see it happen.
Right. So, I mean, who inspired you?
Jazzy Jeff, by far. It's still Jazzy Jeff. Nothing's changed. Like, he's a mecca. He's still the leading guy because the way he does it, branding, marketing, and obviously social media awareness has been his whole key to his game for this era. But in reality, you got to look at the relationships he's built before there was social media.
Right.
And that's a big thing to look at, you know. Right. People just think you go on social media, drop a mix, click, post. Right. And then all of a sudden, like, you take off. You have a brand new career. It's like, you can be this big DJ. No, it doesn't work like that.
No.
So I really took my pattern after him, but did it in the modern technology era. But you still need to understand, like, what he's done in the past to bring the game to where it is now. And that's why, you know, that's the guy I basically look up to and try to generate my career behind, but also go ahead and do it the way the modern era would present itself.
All right. So was he like a mentor? Like, or like, let me say for example. Okay, like I have this guy who I listen to, Gary V.
Yeah, I know Gary V.
All right. Well, Gary V doesn't mentor me personally, but from his information, I've been able to apply it to the different aspects of my life, and it's It actually caused me to add a catalyst to my what I do, social media, this podcast for one. He was part of the inspiration for that. Or was it like that for you, or was he or was it more hands on with the mentorship you had with Jeff?
Well, being located and being the resident DJ at Albany, mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to have him come there.
Wow.
On numerous occasions. So I always connected, and then you build a relationship. Like I said, it doesn't happen on social media. They get thousands of messages a day. So for me, it was watching what he did, and then also, I guess, conquering the opportunity when I got to see him in person to pass my message on to what I thought about him, give him his praise, and then secondly, go ahead and see what I could get from him. Like, can this guy mentor me more in person versus just being the guy you're looking at, like LeBron James or something, where people look and say, oh, that's my mentor, that's the guy who's my role model, whereas reality, 99.9% of them never get in contact with him.
Right.
You know, so for me, I had a different reach, so I understood my path before I actually went out and reached out to him. You see what I'm saying? So with that, it was much easier. And now I have a friendship with him. I could contact him when I feel like. I actually play on him on shows. you know, I play with him on shows, so I open and close for him, you know, and I still give him the respect, but it's that I have hands-on training and learning from, you know, the guys I looked up to, or you should say the pioneers of the industry.
Right, right. Yeah, because I think, you could correct me if I'm wrong, I think somewhere about, I would say 2000, let's go back to 2010. I remember every Valentine's weekend-ish, somewhere around there, you would always have an annual, I don't know if that's your birthday time, something you had.
Yeah, what we did was, you know, I'm a February boy, but what I did was capitalize again on where the market was weak. It was common sense that a lot of guys did not see. Mm-hmm. So what I did, versus going head-to-head with someone saying, let's throw a Valentine's weekend, like 98% of people don't want to be in Valentine's, don't want to spend Valentine's in the club with their significant other. You get where right. I'm coming from. Right. So it's like, you know what? Let's find a way to generate, to bring people outside on a day like that. So right. I threw my birthday party.
Right.
And my goal was not to throw 25 of them, because they do depreciate after a while. It's just right. the way it is. Things happen. Life mm-hmm. change. Life bring changes to a lot of people, so you won't have the same crowd.
Right.
So what I did was, you know, I needed to find a big way to promote myself
right.
to the masses for at least two or three events and then disappear. Because that was not my goal, to do it every year until it fades, or
right.
continue to move along with the same crowd that was supporting me from day one. No,
right.
you have to keep building an audience, you know, and people understand that more now. Social media is more, you know, prevalent on what goes on. So
right.
boom, I went ahead and I did that and threw two or three of them. Then I understood that the decline of the nightclub industry was coming due to the amount of violence and stuff we had going on in the Bahamas at that time.
Right.
So I saw the change coming. The owners did not want to do much. You know, it just was a lot going on
right.
that nobody were projecting. You know, everybody was riding that present moment. Oh,
right.
this is
That's
the hottest place in Nassau. This is a stage you got to be on to be made. Yes,
right.
true. But you do have to understand that there were a lot of factors that were starting to take this thing on a downhill train.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was hype, the train was still shooting down towards the earth. Like, it was about to stop. The wheels about to fall off. So with that being said, when I noticed the revenue from the first event and the numbers, and I noticed the revenue on the second event with the numbers, and I realized, you know, if this is going to be the trend, by the time I hit the third one, I was like, hey, it's time to go. And
right.
I left. I resigned from the nightclub. I resigned from being that DJ at the club, because I could see it closing. I could see it coming. Nobody listened. But again,
right.
who am I to say? I'm not the owner. So
right.
you can't tell someone something's coming if they don't want to pay attention to it. And I moved forward with that and moved on to Albany. That's when I said, you know what? I need to get a job, because I could see the decline coming, but I need to be somewhere where it's going to take my career to the next level.
The next level, right.
So that's when you saw me hop on and started a 9-to-5 job, you know, thanks to Lemon and those guys for taking me in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I continue to be a disc jockey.
Right.
So I worked 9-to-5, been a disc jockey, you know, I knocked it out for a very, very, very long time
mm-hmm.
until the career built itself. Now it's sustainable to the lifestyle that I want.
Right.
And being a DJ. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So what a lot of people miss with that, they just pop out and become a DJ and say, this is what I'm going to do. It's one revenue source. Like, I believe in multiple revenue sources.
Right.
But finally, I'm at the stage in my career as the multiple revenue sources are coming from the skill set and talent that I own, that God gave to me.
Right.
So now I can play at 25 different locations, figuratively speaking, contract-based.
Right.
Or whatever it is at the present time, but I have it for years to come. So
right.
I'm rotating and moving around, you see. So now I'm able to generate a multiple source of revenue stream, but based on my God-given talent.
Right.
So in other words, if I don't work and I don't do it, I don't get paid. But
right.
it's not at one location. It's not like
right.
it's going to stop anytime
right.
soon. It's going to keep going
right.
because I'm finding ways to regenerate and build a bigger audience and continue to improve. That's the biggest thing, because a lot of guys are coming up. A lot of guys are going to be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them high fives all the time. I see them popping out of everywhere. But it's not for me to bow out and say, hey, go ahead and have the dance. No, it's not the way it works.
No.
You know, music, you can play forever. If you
right.
continue to be sharp and good, nothing,
right.
it's no age factor to it. You just keep
right
playing. You
You're
see
right
what I'm saying? It's not like a physical sport where I got to be physically able to jump and slam a basketball or
You're
kick
right.
a soccer ball at a, you know, into the net. No.
Right.
I could stand up there and spin left to right for the rest of my life. But if you remain that good, it's going to be hard to be replaced. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. Because you have I don't know if you know David Rodigan. He does like sound clashes.
Sound clashes.
He's an old dude. I mean, and he's been old.
Yeah.
And he's still in the music game doing his thing. So I can definitely
and Jazzy Jeff, same thing.
Yeah, Jazzy Jeff, because he's been around forever.
But if you're good.
I know myself.
Yeah.
From following Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. You know, he has been doing it.
Straight through. And I tell you, I watch the guys here, and you learn from mistakes. I've seen the guys here been like, oh, I was the top of this, I was the top of that.
Yeah.
Guys like me don't care about what, who's and has-beens. Right. No, we don't care. The generation class. Now is way different.
Right.
We're like, okay, cool.
What are you doing
even
now?
What are you doing now? A lot of the newer, younger DJs that are younger than myself, they know me.
Right.
Because I'm found a way to continue. Yeah, current guys.
Current.
You have to find a way to coexist.
Right.
And the thing is, with me coexisting, mm-hmm. I've gained more respect with the younger guys because, you know, you give them their stage.
Right.
You understand? I'm not saying you're going to take my job from me, but I give you your stage.
Right.
And you do your thing. And then when you see me doing anything, you're like, oh, you know? And I get it all the time. They're like, this guy could play.
Yeah.
You know, the younger guys, even though they have their little crowd following them, yeah, I could rock a crowd too.
Right.
But you got to go ahead and give them their shot. You can't force them out and be a bully because eventually they're going to have a point where their crowd's not going to know you.
Right.
But you're going to need their help in order you want to stay in. So
I
figured out a crazy formula to work my way backwards in the decades or in the current times to remain relevant. And that's obviously, you know, it's music. Music is the main thing.
Right.
You know, staying current with that. Obviously, your style of play got to remain you, not play like everybody else because this is the way they were effective. No.
Right.
I started to do it my way. And then also, you know, health and lifestyle, you got to keep it up.
Right.
Some of the things they do now may be a bit crazy. You may not want to take part in, but some things you have to do because it's just what brings the buzz besides spinning the records, lifestyle, health, you know, your journey and what you do off the turnip. All these things are a common factor now because you have social media, which brings everything to one. You can't avoid it.
Right.
But you could limit to what you put to it. You know, you just give them enough.
Yeah. So what do you think it is that I mean you mentioned stuff like being current with the music for one, also not discrediting or devaluing the up and coming generation. You mentioned that as well. But do you think it is a lack of exposure to like a bigger market that actually causes them to always dwell in the past instead of embracing the future?
Yes, and it's a huge lack of experience, and I can't be the guy to say I did not suffer from that a bit. I did, but I figured out not to sit there. You know, not because you're a product of an environment like the Bahamas, which is lack of experience to a lot of things, whereas me, that's the way I had to take my career. You know, run around, I saw ringing back and forth to different venues just to say I am a disc jockey. No, that's not the way I went about it. I found a way to the America. I found a way to bigger islands, you know, other than the Bahamas. Period. And I found a way to bigger continents. If that's the right way to say it.
Right.
Yeah. So I've made my way across, and you know, North America, Asia. This way, I've made my way across this somehow. But I use the tools that are given to us now to reach outside, not just say I'm the best in the Bahamas or he's a great DJ here now. And I didn't ride that phase until my time stopped. No, I jumped before my time stopped. Like I said, I left Charlie's, I jumped that,
right,
and then Albany, then I jumped that because before these things come to a halt. But you're always connected one to the other one regardless. Right. But lack of experience has a lot of guys living a short field career, and then a lot of them living a very sad career.
Right.
You know? So, like I said,
I just want to stop you right there because you made mention of something again that I can't allow you to pass over again. Was it something that you saw or was it a feeling? How did you know that these places were going to fade out? Was this a feeling or were you able to see from the numbers, the crowd?
I'm all about numbers. Like I said earlier, I looked at, for example, like I always pick on my parties because I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I generated those big crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at next year, crowd wasn't so big, but I didn't have to compensate my charges at the door, whatever you want to call it. I didn't have to compensate what I was going to earn by the amount of people were there. They paid more, but the numbers were smaller. Then the following year, I did it again. The numbers got smaller,
mm-hmm.
but the price remained the same, but my revenue changed. And I looked at the club also. Like many nights I looked at the numbers, took an estimate or a guesstimate, like most people say, because you look at the club and they're like, how many people are in there? Like, oh, you got 1,000. So basically you get a visual aspect of what 1,000 persons looks like in that space.
Right.
So as the years went on and went on, I kept watching it. But then I kept watching business management. I kept watching what they were doing to generate crowds coming back to this club. And the biggest thing was they were not paying attention to the international aspect of it. Right. So I'm looking at what's going on internationally. How come these same clubs are around 25 years, but this club here looks like it's about to fade?
Right.
Because guys are just not putting it in. And again, embracing the youth and seeing what they're seeing.
Right.
You see, you're just riding this wave at the present time. So when I started to notice things like that, I can see the downfall coming. You know, you could see that the wheels about to fall off certain places. So I just like, you know what? Time to go.
Right.
As much as I hated leaving because I was peaking at a point and I enjoyed the environment, it was not going to take me where I wanted to go with my career, which was that international reach big time.
Right.
So I said, you know, I got to go. I love you guys, but it's time to roll. People are like, oh, that's a bad idea. What are you doing? Da, da, da. You're going to do this? You're going to do that? I was like, hey, it's still DJ Ignite. Still my name, my career. If it makes a wrong turn, then you could say, oh, I was right. But I guess, I bet you one thing, if it makes a right turn, you're going to say, he was smart. Well, I know he's doing that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you can't win. You know, it's just what it is. People want to take credit for what they want to take credit for.
Obviously,
but it was time for me to go.
Yeah.
And that's the guy. That's, I've been that type of guy because I pay attention to a lot of things off the turntables. It's when the music stops, a lot of guys don't pay attention. You see what I'm saying? You got to pay attention to what's going on when the music stops. You can't play every day. No. You wish to.
Right.
But can you sustain that for an everyday lifestyle of what you want? That's another thing. And I wanted a nice life. You know, I wanted to live in a gated community, luxurious stuff. Yeah, I wanted that. But what was going on at that present time? Would that have taken me there? No, I noticed it ahead of time. It was time to go.
Right.
I need to find a different means to support my lifestyle of what I wanted from being a disc jockey. All
right, cool. All right, so in you may have mentioned something before we started recording, and this wasn't how you said it, but you made mention to how when you started DJing, you had an idea of what it was supposed to look like, and many of the persons who were doing it, they were not doing it in the manner that you think or you feel as though it should be done. What in your definition is a disc jockey?
My definition of disc jockey is, you know, you have to rock the crowd. It's instant gratification for a very short period of time to people that are paying, basically.
Right.
So you have to go there, and this is just the club side of it. You got to go there and perform. Or wherever you are, club, venue, wedding, bar mitzvah, whatever it is. You got to go there and perform, and they're paying you for a service for a very short period of time. That's why it's such an inflated price on it.
Right.
Because, again, you're paying for a skill set. I'm a walking encyclopedia for music. You see, that's what they're paying you for, to be honest with you. Now you have to go and display to me what you know that will make me happy. That's why I'm giving you the money.
Right.
There's no other reason why they pay you. They call on you because they know you're guaranteed to them to give them the best result from your encyclopedia of music of what they want. And you got to pace it together the best way you can. So you're basically writing a whole story to whatever it is. Like I said, a wedding, a bar mitzvah, you know.
Right.
And that's just the music aspect. Off of it now, it's become, now to date, it's become even bigger of a show.
Right.
It has to be a display. It has to be, you know, confetti cannons, CO2, smokes, you know, giveaways, your representation of how you look too.
Right.
All these are key factors. And if you don't put that together with it, then you have another problem. Because people, they like visual, you know, everything's visual.
Right.
Social media's changing. It's not just, oh, he has a mixtape, I'll book him. Like, it doesn't matter what he looks like. Now it's a whole package. The first thing they do now is they run to a social media app. They want to see what you look like.
Right.
They want to see how the performances are. And it's instant. Again, it's back to instant gratification. So, and that's what the disc jockey has turned into. But it doesn't take away from the art.
Right.
You know, people still use turntables. People still use vinyl. You know, people use CDJs, but it doesn't take away from the art. It's just now you have it's a bigger display. That's all I'm getting at. It's a display. It's a show. It's no longer, oh, he can play mine, he can scratch, he can this. No. It's not that anymore. It's a display. That's why I look how I look. That's why I dress how I dress and do what I do, because it's no longer just push play and pause and give me good music. No, these guys want a full-on show.
They want a show.
Yeah, for the person who's paying, it's a bargain for their buck.
Right.
You know, so now you have to change volume what you're doing too.
Right. Yeah, because it's, I mean, like I say, it's putting on a show. It's basically being entertainment.
Yeah,
you're basically the entertainment.
You are the entertainment.
Right,
you are. You know, when clubs book me now, you know, like a lot of guys were shocked when I brought out the concert, the Buju concert. I'll make reference to that when I brought out a mascot.
Right.
People were like, what?
That was awesome. That was
nobody knew, but again, the exposure. I've seen that, so I'm like, you know, can I do that? Do I have the right guys here to do that? And you got to remember when I went to Marciano. I'll mention him. When I went to Marciano, Darling, I think his last name is. He's a great dancer.
Right.
And I always found him to be an elite dancer amongst the group. But how can he get, you know, how can he get to the U.S. or how can he get across the continents dancing?
Right.
And that's when I gave him a shout and I pitched the idea to him. It's like, hey, you could be this mascot. Just do what you do.
Right.
I'll play music. Let me be me and you do what you do. And I bet you we'll get a ticket out of here.
Right.
And at the Buju thing, it's still the most talked about thing. And people's like, dude, your marketing and stuff is above and beyond. I was like, yeah, it's not just me. It's, you know, the exposure. I have a lot of exposure. I see a lot of big shows because I play a lot of big shows.
Right.
And I'm not going over there as the big dog, like, oh, I must headline. I must be the feature. No, I get on shows to see what's going on. Even though I know the headline guy may not play as well, you still go. You still go because you create a relationship. It's something social media cannot fix, and it's building a relationship. A lot of guys miss that too.
Right.
That's it, basically. That's how you put together the whole DJ thing. Branding, marketing, imaging, music, so like, you know, apparel, everything, man. It's a lot of factors you got to deem together in order for it to work, to be honest with you. And I don't mean just work like, oh, someone called me to play this pool, but no. I mean like the work, you know, like getting different places, Vegas, this way, that way, you know.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, man. Because I see, I mean, but even that being said, you know, when you put out a flyer for each month and you're very consistent.
Consistency, that, yeah.
Consistency,
major factor.
You would have like about 20 events.
Yep.
Every month would be like about 20 events. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, that was one of the things. Like when it hit that point, about a year and a half ago, it hit that point where I was doing, I guess, minimum 20 events a month. And the events were generating great revenue. So, I mean, I could take it down to 14 if I felt like it. Right. But if it's available at the time, you tough it out. And that's when I started to realize, like, hey, I can't work a normal job anymore. Like, this is starting to get rough. And then next year, I found a way to peak again, you know, spark more interest. So I created that consistent 9-to-5 within the music. That's first off.
Mm-hmm.
Find a place where you can play every day, basically, or every week, every weekend, you know, that covers your bills. Because what I tell people, I'll backtrack one more time, and I'll say that again. So what I tell people is go ahead and let your job pay your bills while you work on your hobby. And eventually your hobby will pay your bills and support your lifestyle.
Right.
But most of these DJs, I tell them, get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Social media makes a lot of people look at it and be like, oh, it's so glamorous. And when you start it, doesn't go the same way.
Exactly.
So when I tell a lot of guys, hey, I worked a job for about 8 to 10 years. I worked a normal 9-to-5, but I stuck to the DJ thing. Many late nights, early mornings, you know, affect me health-wise, affect me relationship-wise, affect me family-wise, but I understood that what direction I was going in with this 8 to 10 year plan. And I lost a lot along the way. I don't regret it, not in a bit. I think about it, but I kind of make it seem like, you know what, maybe I was right, because now I'm living the dream. Now I'm a disc jockey.
Right.
My hobby pays my bills. I get a lot of gigs, and no, I'm enjoying the ride. But I had to sacrifice a lot along the 8 to 10 year period.
Right.
There's a lot of late nights, early mornings where there was nobody there.
Right.
But I could not change which direction I was going in with that actual dream.
Right.
I knew it would take 10 years to build up. It's like people say 10,000 hours.
10,000 hours.
You got to put in.
But
I never changed much. I had to work a 9-to-5 because I needed to find some way to fund my bills. Like, it wasn't a free ride, like, oh, I'm going to be a DJ, suffer for 10 years, then all of a sudden, it's like, boom, I just won the lottery. No, no.
Right.
I didn't take that route. I took the route of working a 9-to-5, bust my butt, and did well, and was committed, and never shied away from what I signed up for with the 9-to-5.
Right.
But I still worked, and I worked at the DJ until now it does everything for me.
Right.
So now I'm enjoying the ride. Like I tell everybody, living the dream. And a lot of guys saw that coming to fruition from day one. They didn't understand the plan.
Right.
They didn't understand why I sacrificed so much.
Right.
But that was the first 10-year plan. Now you have 2 5-year plans. It's just crazy some of the things I read and come across, how I break it down. And that's how it became a successful career, and it's only going to get bigger. Yes. You have to have the killer mindset to do that, to be dead honest with you, and that's what I have.
All right. So branding. What is branding in your own words?
Branding in my own, I mean, it doesn't really change, but branding is just how do you want people to view you? Everybody could say, when they think about it, they say DJ Ignite, the first thing they hear is the jingle. Mm-hmm. DJ Ignite, the jingle, and then two, the red eye.
Right.
It's two distinct things.
Right.
Up again, audio visual. That's what the market we're in, audio visual. So I need to figure out what logo I like, but also majority, what logo does the people want to see? Mm-hmm. What logo do they want to fire? Do they want guns and this and that, or weed? Or do they want a nice, efficient, but stylish eye?
Right.
And then secondly, you had to create sound to people's ears. Like, how do they know that's you?
Right.
Is it a sound effect? Which I hope that comes out clear on the mic. Like, do they want a sound effect? And be like, oh, I know who that is. Oh, bomb or something. I'm like, no, I need a jingle that is annoying.
Right.
But it's very good at the same time.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the point of why it's so high pitch and why I turn it to that. Because I need you to remember that jingle.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, oh, I know that jingle when I hear it anyway. Yep. And that's the whole catch. You need to have that jingle. So now I've created both audio and visual representation for me. And I got the trademarks done in the U.S. So globally, all 52 states, you know, I wouldn't say globally. I just say all 52 states.
Right.
My trademark is done. Globally, that's a bigger reach. It's a bit different because trademark laws are different around the world.
Right.
But for the main thing for me is where I go the most would be the United States of America.
Right.
So across all 52 states, the eyes trademark, the DJ Ignite handles trademark, all that stuff's trademark. So I own it regardless of in here in the Bahamas. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I got it done in the U.S. I've spent my money. I've got the patent done.
Right.
And the patent law is passed, and that's it. So I own the product regardless of how you put it.
Right.
And that's the next step a lot of guys will not invest in, because you know why? They don't see an immediate return. They don't see cash from it.
Right.
They don't understand, like, if it does go big, and you, for example, Felicia, you own my logo because I didn't know you actually went and took a trademark on it. I'm paying you for the rest of my life royalties because you have my logo, or whatever you want to say.
Right.
You know, you have my logo. I can't do anything about it. If that's what I want to use, I got to continue it unless I want to change my logo.
Right.
Now what I have to do again, start over again. No,
yeah.
So you do it early. You know, you invest in yourself. No one's going to invest in yourself. So a lot of guys are missing on the, as you can see, all this leads to business, music business.
Right.
A lot of guys didn't have the mentorship for it, or they were not interested enough to go to Google to find out. Many of these things I'm doing now are just simple Google searches.
Right.
Like, how did this happen? Like, how did that happen? You know, you watch things. Like, I remember the DJ Khaled, another example. He was the real DJ Khaled when he first came to Twitter and those things.
Right.
Then all of a sudden it switched to DJ Khaled. And I'm like,
Wait
a minute, another kid had that. How did he get it? And then when I started research, then they started to parse trademarks and certain things, whereas now you can't keep it if you had the handle first because you signed up first on social media.
Right.
No, I own it. You understand where I'm going from now? Like, I own the handle, so I understand why certain guys were kind of bullied out of it. Bullied is a strong word, but you had to give it up.
Right.
Because you didn't own it. No, you could not keep it. So anything with DJ Ignite, one word combinations, because I obviously, you know, at handles work, there are no spaces and stuff.
Right.
So I just trademarked the whole thing.
Right.
And so now you've seen a lot of guys are forced to give up the handle because I own it. You know, many things are not created yet. There will be another app.
Right.
They come. Dime a dozen. There will be another feature app that's going to be bigger.
Right.
But if a next guy signs up DJ Ignite, gets it for it, doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't have to sprint it first. I don't have to become relevant on it first. But when it's time for me to achieve the handle,
right,
I own. You know, I've done all that stuff to understand how it works.
Right. Yeah, man. And I see that, you know, you always had a knack. I mean, if it was like whenever I think of a DJ, especially when it comes to the branding aspect. You know, you always come to mind because you always had your logo. Your logo was on everything.
Yeah,
your logo was on everything. I was like, how are you? From the from the laptop to the bag. Now I see you have the stickers. How would the sticker get on
it's everywhere. Listen, with that sticker thing, I saw it away from one of my brothers away in Vegas, Seb One. It's my brother. He really, you know, he looks after me. I look after him. If he comes here, it doesn't matter, right. You know, because it's all, we build a relationship.
Right.
And I saw no matter where he went in the world, there was a Seb One sticker.
Right.
And I didn't realize how effective it was till I popped up in New York and I was on a subway, random subway cart, you know, going back down to the financial district. When I looked, it was a 7-1 sticker sitting on the doorway.
Right.
And I took a picture and I put it on. The first thing I did was took a picture, mm-hmm. put it on Instagram and showed him it. But not just showed him it. I realized I just showed the world, or my part of the world, or the people who follow me,
right.
a 7-1 sticker. So that sparks an interest.
Right.
So now people went and they were like, but who's Seb One, boy? Isn't this dude look cool?
Right.
Because he's full of tattoos and everything. He's a DJ. So automatically he was rated high. He's DJing in Vegas. He looks good. He has great tattoos. You know what I mean? But the point is, I realized how effective a little sticker is. It's as simple as knowing a male or female bathroom. Mm. Like, you gotta realize how prominent those logos are worldwide. Right. And people may, it may sound stupid, but you gotta think about it. Open. It's on every door.
Right.
It's a sticker, but the whole point is you can put it anywhere and it resonates,
right,
to a certain thing.
Yes,
you see, connection. You know that male symbol does, male bathroom. It sounds dumb, but if you think about it, you know, if you see that ignite eye, is ignite.
It starts to
replay over and over and over. And so what I started to do was get the stickers, place in places myself at first, and I realized, oh, that's not gonna work. I can't be everywhere.
Right.
So anytime I see people in the clubs or everywhere, I give them 10, 20 stickers. I mean, some end up in the garbage, some end up on the floor. It's just a risk you take.
Right.
And now I'm looking, like, when I look, someone popped it in the airport in Lutra, it's in Abaco, it's in New York, Miami, Kansas, Washington. Like, I've seen it myself, like, my stickers on streets, and I'm like, I've never been here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my stickers on, like, a street. I'm like, Washington, I didn't even have these stickers yet.
Right.
And then when I take a picture, I'm like, who's responsible? All of a sudden, you get a reply from somebody because you have guys supporting you that you don't even know is indirectly supporting. I'm like, dude, I didn't even give you a sticker. How'd you get it? Oh, one of my boys had one. It was cool. Look, one was on my laptop too.
Right.
You see, they will do it. They will put it on. Listen, how many guys put a Jordan sticker anywhere?
Right.
You had to think about it. Jordan was giving out stickers and shoes at one point, I think. And people just buy the Jumpman stickers off the internet and put them on their laptop. If they support Jordan so freely, I was like, yo, why can't you support me?
Mm-hmm.
Being from a place you can actually reach out to me. Or you know me. And they do it. They stick them places. It's simple and so effective.
Right.
And I got 1,000. I got stickers for days. Like, I put stickers anywhere I go, I put a sticker.
Right.
You know why? Because you just want, like you said before, you want to see that logo. You just resonate in people's mind. Because at some point, someone's going to say, man, it's a pop. You know Ignite? Oh, yeah. The one just put the stickers everywhere. Or the chime. Or the red eye.
Right.
That's all I'm doing. I'm just put it over and over and over in your head, just trying to bring it to your memory, or because it's not your everyday thing to call my name or want to listen to me, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I did that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I always have this saying that I embodied probably, I wouldn't even say a year now, maybe from last year or October, but what it basically is life is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Right.
So how do you? I mean, you've already spoken about that briefly. Letting up and coming DJs know that hey, you actually had a 10-year game. You weren't looking for that instant. Hey, I'm a DJ flying. I turned DJ today. Now I'm flying all over the world. No,
exactly. No. It's like you say, life is not a sprint; it's a marathon. And like I said earlier, a lot of guys look at it and they want to take off. They want to be the best.
Right.
They want to be like, I'm that guy.
Just like that.
You know? No, it doesn't. No. Social media gives you a great representation, sometimes number wise, but also gives you a false representation number wise.
Right.
You know, are they real people? Are they fake people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's another gimmick now. And the next thing is, the people who are following you, are they really interested in what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
When they double click like, are they be like, oh, fire, and drop 100 emojis under your stuff?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
It's just support.
Right.
It's just, but it doesn't really translate to anything. So I tell a lot of younger guys, they got to realize, like, many of these things are not real. You got to get out there and physically put it out there. But it's no rush to the marathon part. Right. And a lot of guys like, oh, you was a DJ your whole life. No, they don't really know. Like, I was waking at 9 to 5
right.
and being a DJ full time. And I was like, oh, this is starting to balance out a bit. And then year 5, I was like, it's just a level. I guess this is what it is. Right. And that was me kind of settling. I was like, you know, that's not what I signed up for. I didn't come here to settle. Because now it's just like, I feel like this is where it is. It's a whole world out there.
Right.
It's bigger besides the 242.
Right.
The 242 is where you keep your 9 to 5 spinning records.
Right.
But it has to make sense in order for you to get to America or any other continent around the world, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you got to start here and make it your 9 to 5 with music, but not suffer and sit home and you don't have a gig or you only have gigs on Saturdays. No, that doesn't make sense, man.
Right.
You're not going to build your big house or, you know what I mean? You're not going to have a big lifestyle. But again, some people want a big lifestyle and some people don't. Mm-hmm. So what they're getting out of the industry is what they want. Whether it's a marathon or not, this is just the pace they're going to run at. They're not going to win.
Right.
But again, that's their marathon. They'd rather do it at 40 years at this pace and never really peak out and earn big money versus doing it for 20 and you skyrocket and you can retire early. It's different views to what they call a marathon and what they call a sprint. You know, it all depends.
Right, you're right.
You see what I mean? So you got to figure out how you want it.
So, like, has anybody ever asked you the question and said, they would be like, Ignite, you know, I can see you have a lot of favor, you're blessed, and I feel as though all of your connections came from being out Albany. And if you weren't out Albany, I don't think you'd have all these opportunities to the U.S. Do you feel as though, even if that wasn't the case, do you feel as though you still would have been able to make it wherever your vision was 12 years ago?
No, because those guys, like, you got to be real. Some people are just connected to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Millionaires only see millionaires. Mm-hmm. You understand where I'm coming from?
Right.
They already know their DJ because they're going to call the other millionaire. Right. You know, I got to be dead honest with it. So when I noticed what was going on there,
mm-hmm.
I didn't even play the music. I'd be dead honest with you. I had to go home and look up pop music. Because you got to understand, I was there. I mean, I played a little bit of it, but I was at Charlie's Club, dude.
Like, right. Yeah. What? No
reggae, rap, culture. That's it. Wasn't no much Kesha and
right.
You know what I mean, Taylor Swift and that type of. No, I brought it there when I started to work the Albany, and right. people were like, "Whoa,
right.
you know, like this, like he's bringing like, you know, they're like bringing house music to Albany, like bringing house music, sorry, to Charlie's."
Right.
But when I had my first gig at Albany, I didn't even know what it was. Like, I had to Google up top 100 house songs that I was downloading home when I realized I got a gig, because I had to figure it out. But I also understood, like, you know, the world's billionaires, they only hang in a small circle.
Right.
They're not everywhere. They're not going to show up at you know, at Charlie's Club. No. It's very rare. You may see an athlete looking for something to do in the Bahamas at the time when that was the only thing to do.
Right.
You get where I'm coming from? That was the hottest spot to go.
Right.
But what is the safest spot? Was it an environment for a 5-star athlete? Probably not.
No.
You see what I'm saying? Right. So when people's like, oh, you only would have made it if Albany was in here. So what? That was my ticket. I understood it and I seized it. Mm-hmm. You guys could have went there a long time ago. You understand where I'm coming from?
Right.
But I went. I took a job in there.
Right.
And I gave up what I had that was peaking at Charlie's Club to be the hottest place to play and be the number one DJ. But I understood, like, yo, that was not going to take me to America.
Right.
You understand? I had to go. I hated it, but it was a risk I took. It was an educated risk. Obviously, I knew it was going to work. But then again, I had to go put in the work once I got back there. So what happened? I had to start over again to get people to know my name, to get people to say, oh, he's credible enough to play on your event. Because these are the richest people in the world. You understand? They could call anybody they want to call. But what do I need to do so they don't call anybody? They now saying, I'm that guy to call. And that's when I had to go in and really put in work, put in hours. You know, don't complain. Still hustle to be on gigs until they were like, you know what? We're not going to bring in any international guys. Ignite is our DJ.
Right.
And that's when I realized, once they said that, I said, all right, now it's a game changer.
Right.
And I was the guy and still is the guy out there. Still a resident DJ there because I'm not going to just get complacent. That's not how I got there to begin with.
Nope.
You know, I took a risk to get that far to get to being a full-time DJ. But so without them, no, it would not have happened. Some people might disagree because they say, oh, you're talented. Yeah, I could be talented in a little box for my whole life. How many rappers and singers you know right now in the Bahamas are super talented?
Right.
Hands down, but nothing's happening.
No. Because you don't know the right people to get your song to the right person. Right. And then you know what they're going to say? Oh, you can just go to social media. Do you know what kind of money you have to pump in? I'll give you an example. To an Instagram to get your track across the right person's screen at, on an advertising basis? It's a lot. So don't think the game got super easier because, oh, I could just put up a song that's going to go viral. No, things right. don't happen that easy.
No.
No, man. Don't get a false representation or don't get a shortcut. Don't create a shortcut in your mind
right.
that this is, oh, I could just do it this way. Click up a button, it's going viral.
And is it?
No. Trust me. Like, I tell them all the time, Dade County way bigger than Nassau. Dade County got a lot more people than like the Bahamas. Right. You know, it sounds kind of crazy, but right. if you know the amount of people who come into Dade County, Broward, that Miramar, like it'll blow your mind. That's why you see the certain Florida rappers blow up
right.
because their viral aspect is created by their own support within their city.
Right, their own support.
Yeah. Don't call it the Bahamas. Say, oh, I got 120, 150,000 people in Nassau that could help me. How many people have access to a phone? How many people have access to the internet?
Right.
See how the numbers start to fall?
Right.
How many people are actually on Instagram? You see, it's getting less and less and less. And then it goes, how many people are in that age group that wants to listen to what you're rapping about? Right. Less again. You see that, right?
Right.
Now it starts, you're like, all of a sudden, like, you're down to maybe 5,000 to 10,000 people that actually want to hear what you want to say.
Right.
Besides your family supporting you, say, oh, yeah, I like your rap song. Double click like. Mm-hmm. Did they actually send it to anybody of any essence? No.
No. Probably
trust
not.
Me, dude. It's
probably not.
It's a big difference. So I give like how many they change it. They changed my life, straight up. They changed my entire life when it comes to music, and I will never take it away from them. And I'll never let anybody tell me anything different because that's what it is. I had the talent.
Mm-hmm.
They just put it out to another set of people that it could not reach. Yeah, they didn't build me. I'll be clear with that. I'll defend that.
You end up doing the work.
I did the work myself. I did the hours myself. Right. I went home and researched myself. I practiced myself. I flew away and did what I had to do. But they gave me the foundation whereas I can make money
right.
and build your career.
Wow.
You see that? Simple right. as that. They gave me a job. And they said, hey, you could DJ here. As long as you're good,
right.
we'll keep you playing. There's right. no promises.
Right.
As long as you're good, you play here. If you're not good, you're not going to play here. They don't have time for it. These guys only know 5-star and top-notch stuff.
Yeah.
They want the best for the people they cater to, the right. best stuff, the best everything in the world. So, hey, that's those right. guys did wonders for me. It changed my life, dude. I got a house. I got cars. I got places away. I got money saved. And they were able to give me a platform to display my talent, which right. I had to go home and work on. So I'd never say they built me, but, boy, they gave me a platform, whereas some of the richest people in the world who are connected to the richest people in the world who connected to this guy who connected to that guy. One click of a right. button, one email, and it's a life changer.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But you got to go ahead and show yourself approved. So, I give praise and thanks to God for sending me in that direction.
Right.
That it was the right direction to go there and actually put in that particular set of work. And that changed a lot in the program is by going down to Albany Resort. I knew I was good, but how good could I become?
Right.
And then along that, how good I can become, like how long do I have to find a billionaire to walk in? Someone say, hey, you could play, you need to do this. Or can I take you away?
Right.
You know, those guys did that. And I did what I had to do and I got on.
Right.
But I was in the right place. And I was prepared.
I was prepared. Yeah.
Wow. So when people say, oh, it's because of Albany, I don't take it in a negative way. Hell right.
yeah.
I give those guys all the credit in the world of giving the environment for me to actually do that.
Yeah,
but I always tell people, if I was not good, I would not play there.
Right.
That's straight up. You can't take that away from me.
Albany's only a part of the equation.
That's a part of the equation. I still had to go there and play.
You had to put
it to work. Yeah, I made money. Hell yeah, I made money. But I still had to put in the work.
Right.
And then somebody heard just that one chance, that one guy. So when people see you pack up and come back to another gig and pack up, come back to another gig, they don't know that you're just, in my head, I'm hoping like, I wonder if this guy's going to take me away.
Right.
Rather than saying, well, thanks, you played so good. That brings you back. That keeps like resonating that you're really good. But would it have taken you away? Sometimes it doesn't. You just come back and do another gig. But once or twice, well, way more than once or twice over a 10-year period. I played some extreme events, you know, PGA Tour, NBA. I mean, everywhere you can think, MLS. I'm DJ for these type of things.
Right.
Because the right people are in the right places.
Right.
And they got to hear my talent. You know why? Because I also in the right place. But hey, I had to get behind that gate in order to be in the right place. So exactly. I get him credit, dude. I'm not gonna take it away. Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
All right. So like, if can you give our listening audience, whether they are an aspiring DJ or whether a person wanting or starting their entrepreneurial journey, because I think the things that we spoke about in this conversation today can speak to persons in various areas, the principles that you used to attain your success. Can you give the listening audience maybe about three nuggets that they could apply to whatever it is they are doing.
The first one is consistency. Mm-hmm. You got to be consistent on what you're delivering, and that doesn't mean deliver the same thing every time. Right. I mean, you got to improve and remain consistent, as in good or great, right, or whatever they want to call you. That's that means a positive thing to you. That's going to keep you the next show. Secondly, was the Rolodex. And people are like, what are you talking about? Who I know. Right. You understand? And the Rolex only came about because, again, the last important point of where you play. So I've pieced together where I play to build my Rolodex, which means who I know, who I can call, where I can get the next show, blah, blah, so on. Whatever you want to take out of your Rolodex. Right. Email addresses, phone numbers, social media handles, whatever you need out of that Rolodex from playing certain places and meeting certain people. So it's where you play, your Rolodex, and consistency.
Right.
And that's what I rode all the way through.
Right.
I found the right places to play. Or let me say the right people to play for also. Because if you're in the right place, you're going to find the right people.
Right.
And you're going to get the right contact, which takes you to your Rolodex. And you got to remain consistent in order to keep moving forward, you see? Because it doesn't happen right away. I can know you for the next 20 years. It might be on the 20th year that you be like, hey, SOAR is worldwide.
Right.
Like, my brand's worldwide. I need you to come play in my store. Right. But I have the Rolodex. You see what I'm saying? Right. Or I've noticed that you've blown up, but you might not have remembered me at the time.
Right.
But I shoot you a text. You might be like, oh, I remember Ignite Bahamas. He's still DJ. Yo, let's bring him down to New York. Just like that.
Right.
You see? Things pop up on TV.
Right.
I can call a guy from the Boston Celtics.
Right.
You understand? I can call a guy from New York City FC, like soccer that is now. Right. I could call a guy from the PGA Tour. I could give a shout out to anybody from the Tiger Woods Foundation if I see something that they might not have remembered me for to play on.
Right.
And I give them a shout, and all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, we could bring Ignite. It changes their whole visual of what's going on. We have a DJ coming in from the Bahamas.
Right.
The flag means a big thing when it's going in the other direction. We always complain about people coming here, but when we're flying out, it's the same thing. They're like, why are you bringing him in? And then I go ahead and I prove a point why.
Right.
You see? But if you don't be in the right place, right time with the right people, it's hard to build the right Rolodex.
Right.
And simply said, it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
You know, why, somebody, oh, give me a number, buddy, give you a shout for, you know, for a gig or something like that, and you're like, you know, like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That gig's cool, but is it going to take me to the world where I can make 20,000 a show? You know, a lot of guys have never seen that. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the value of it or where it can go to. You have some guys making millions a show.
Right.
So don't say you can't do it because we're here. It's just that you need to play the right place for the right people.
Right.
To meet the right people, to get the right Rolodex, or build up your phone, or whatever you got to do. Right. Nothing happens right away.
No.
And then you go ahead and remain consistent, because when it does happen, you got to be ready. Okay. So that's the three things I write on. You know, where you play, the Rolodex, and obviously last but not least, consistency. And that's, like you said, with the calendar, I've been consistent. People are looking to see what's coming next. 20, 30, whatever the case may be, 10. If I do 10, you never know, there might be 10. One may be in China, Australia, this way, that way. So I might have to space it down to 10 in order for travel. So I tell a lot of people, you just got to remain consistent. You have to.
Well, it is.
And then you find the right place in place, or however you want, whatever order you want to do it in. But that's the three I give you.
Definitely awesome, man. Saw Nation, you heard it just now. Three awesome nuggets. I hope each and every one of you wrote those down, because those ones would change your career and change your life. Ignite, if you were able to go back about 10 years, would you like thinking about everything that's happened now, would you change? Would you change anything? Change the conversation? Do this a little differently? Would you change, or would you leave it just as is?
I would leave it as is, because then if I change it, it would change this career path. I already know this outcome. I already have this. So if I go back and change it, it's no guarantee that I would have left Charlie's, quit Cable Bahamas, mm-hmm. go to Albany, meet Tiger and the bigger guys, and play for Russell Simmons, Serena. Everybody I've played for on TV, Justin Rowe, I can call names a dozen. But I would have never been able to do that. I know a lot of people might disagree and say, oh, yeah, you could get up there, but our rate right now of like success on that actually happened is pretty null. If you think about it, you could just be real with yourself. It's like, no.
Right.
So much guys coming from the Bahamas playing for these guys. On another, taking another route to it. No. You get where I'm coming from? No. You could sit down and think all you want, and then you love guys pop up. Oh, I remember back in the day, I used to play for this and play. I don't care. Like, people don't care because you don't have anything to show. Show me.
Right.
You know, okay, go ahead and call him. Yeah. These are the youngsters. These are the younger DJs are coming at you now.
Right.
With me having that type of proof is a different respect factor.
Because
I've done it. I can call these guys and they respectfully answer. Because like, oh, that's DJ Ignite from the Bahamas.
Right.
Like he let's see what it's something of importance, not just a bombard approval point,
right.
But it's something of some importance. Like I have the Rolodex. I'd be afraid. Like I back up my phone just as much as I back up my music. Right. You understand where I'm coming from? So I tell a lot of people, like, I would never take it back. I'd never change the 10-year.
Right.
You could think about some conversations that were mistakes, some reactions that were mistakes, but
right.
in the end, they turned out to be great lessons, and it actually molded me to what I am now, and taking this thing to another journey. Like this, now I'm on the next leg.
Right.
You know, if I could go back 10 years, maybe I would have opened a nightclub. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
when I was seeing these other clubs going down, crime changed a lot of situations. Maybe I would have built that upscale.
Right.
You know, maybe I would have opened one in a hotel. There's a lot of things that I said, what if 10 years ago? But it might be my next 10.
Right. Yeah, because I would say, you could correct me if I'm wrong, I would say that let's say Charlie was probably one of that was season one.
Yeah, that was the Mecca of it all.
Then I would say season two is Albany. So now,
yeah.
So now you in season three. What is next?
Las Vegas, Nevada. There's no guessing. It's the next.
That's it.
It's a five and a five. That's where it is. It's no other thing for me. Like I told everybody, I had dreams. I made it to Charlie's stage, and then I gained experiences which took me to different places. I've done the PGA Tour. I've done the NBA. I've done MLS. I've done a lot of things. You know what I mean? I've played for big major corporations locally, of course, and then definitely internationally. I played for major corporations, and then for me, it was like what's next? And I was like, I need to go to the land where DJs are considered to be DJs.
Right.
Just to prove a point that they're there to myself that I'm just as good.
Right.
I can make that money and be approved as a DJ there, but that's where I gotta go.
Right.
And that's gonna be a 5-year plan.
Right.
And then you're gonna make retirement money. Do they get paid real DJ money? You know what I mean?
Mm.
But you can understand, Vegas never sleeps.
No.
So you could work 7 days a week if you want, if you get in the right places. Or you could work 3 days a week and make tons of money and doesn't
right.
matter.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So for me, that was a journey. Charlie's, Albany was another journey. I'm still connected. Charlie's not open, but I'm still heavily connected in Albany as a resident DJ and so forth with music. But the next phase is, now I got another goal. It just never ends. Now it's Vegas.
Now
I gotta get right. to Vegas. You know so what I mean?
Do you think that that's what happens to most persons? Like they lack focus. Like when you think about something, they're like this. They don't have a target. They don't have a target goal.
Yeah, and what made it much harder now is social media. So now the horse blinders are off. Like you're not zoned and you're not focused
right.
on what your plan is anymore. You know why? Because all of a sudden you got a kid with, boom, 20 million followers.
Right.
He's thousands of views, 1.5 million views a day, scratching a record. So right. all of a sudden now you looked in another direction trying right. to see what he's doing, whereas that may not work for you.
No.
So your blinders, social media is taking the blinders off on what direction to go in. So people are just jumping on the next wave, and that's not really the way to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So when they hit that next wave, now they're confused.
Right.
Like, yeah, what do they really want to do?
I don't. Yeah, because I always say that you always supposed to keep your eye on the prize. You don't look left, you don't look right. Keep your eye, because even when you're driving a car, you ever see like if you're on a three lane road, five lane road. And you find yourself, if you look left or right, you see the car is starting to drift in the same direction.
It's driving the same direction, right. It's like sprinting.
Right.
That's a race. You can't really look over for too long.
No. You got to look.
Yeah, you got to just
keep your eye where you're going.
Yeah, but if guys do that, just find your path and what you want to do. Right. You're going to have to pay attention to at least one person to figure it out. Right. But it might spark an idea in your head of where you actually want to go. You see what I'm saying? And then you go ahead and now... You pick that path and you stick with it. You know, I wanted to deviate many times.
Right.
Discouraged by people above me, below me. It's been a lot, but you just have to ride it out. And like I said, with taking this route to get to where I am now, I've lost, you know, family members as friends. I've lost friends. I've lost relationships, countable amounts, because I was not going to deviate from now. Now I wish I could roll back the time and get certain people back. But unfortunately, I'm not going to get certain people back to be along this crazy journey. So it just is what it is, you know. You regret a little bit, but then also you just shake it off and be like, you know what? It is what it is. See you when I see you, you know?
Right. So okay, good. So for persons who would want to get connected and stay connected with you, where can they reach you on social media?
Social media, Instagram at DJ Ignite. Snapchat, The Real DJ Ignite, Twitter, The Real DJ Ignite. Those handles will change shortly to DJ Ignite, but as the meantime, the biggest platform, Instagram, DJ Ignite. Facebook, DJ Ignite, you know, just iTunes, DJ Ignite. It's just, you can look it all up. Spotify, I'm on there too, so if you want, you can put in The Real DJ Ignite or DJ Ignite. It's going to pop up. You'll find out. It's populated enough, whereas I'm going to pop up in the top two searches. And that was another, I didn't yet mention that, but populating yourself in searches is a big thing too. So you know, when you look up Bahamas and DJ, I'm like, top
right there.
Yeah, you see, top is like top guy. It's no other guy comes above that when it's populating a search. So it's a lot of little knickknacks you can look at and figure out certain things and give yourself leverage. And then you hope you play good enough to, you know, show up, you know, to live up to that. And that comes with practice or whatever you want to do to practice. Some guys don't practice. Some guys do.
Right.
It's all your choice on how you want your career to be molded to be successful in the end.
Right. It's all about like what you said earlier, the vision. Where do you see yourself years from now? Is this just a side thing, or is this a side thing that you're trying to build up to be the main thing?
That's it. Simple as that. It was a side thing. It was a hobby.
Right.
But I let my 9-to-5 pay my bills while I built the hobby. And now the hobby does everything. And that's just living the dream, I tell everybody.
Wow.
Later on, I will go back to work. I don't know what aspect. To be honest with you, I will, you know, because it's a different pace to this.
Right.
And I won't probably keep it forever. You know, you try as long as you're not bored. And you never know. I may end up working again. And that'll be an option I pick. It wouldn't be due to a collapse of a career, anything like that. It's just just probably want to work again. You know, want that camaraderie. It might be in music.
Right.
You know, it may not be a 9-to-5 doing something and building someone else's dream. It might be still building a musical dream. Right. But like I said, it'll be an aspect I want it to be and not building someone else's dream. Continue to build mine.
Yeah. Because I could see you. Because I could see the brand. I could see the brand turning into like a entertainment type of group of DJs, you know, you could be producing.
Yeah, it's so many different, you know,
and you don't know like
what it's gonna be.
You know what it's gonna be, and I mean, based upon how it's played out so far, I have no clue what it's gonna turn out to be.
So you just continue with it. Like right now, the next 5 and 10, it's to Vegas and still Vegas. You know, I want to get to Vegas and. And that's it, because now the amount of people that go through Vegas on any given week that I'll never see again, that I can connect to for that one night is why I want to go to Vegas.
Right.
The people that rotate through there is ridiculous. Yeah, you may have one or two big shots come back because it's like a gambling mecca of an area.
Right.
Now they're becoming a huge sporting arena with everybody moving there, you know. But so I got to get there. Like, that's the goal. Like, now I need people to see it. You know, I'm refined. I've done it. I'm going to get better at it, but I need to get, that's where I need to go, is Vegas or no, you know what I mean? I take other places now. If you take me to the U.S. somewhere, it's fine. But I'm just saying that that is the, you know, that's the, that's where I need, that's where I want to go. And that's just a goal of mine.
That's your goal.
That's why it's 5 and 5. It's not 10-year plan. First was a 10-year plan.
Right.
You know, 10,000 hours, 10 years, whatever you want to do. Now it's 5 and 5, you know, because, you know, that's just the way I don't want to give out all the ideas, but that's, that's, it's a 5 and 5. And the first 5 now is Vegas, and then the other 5, you'll see later on, but. You can't give it all out.
No.
But the, definitely the 10-year plan, you know, guys got to figure it out. And I'm all with helping whoever needs to be helped. You know, some people don't look at me that way. Some people do. But, you know, it's a great story to tell.
All right, man. So, Nation, we just took flight with DJ Ignite. We were talking branding. We were talking vision. We were talking just a little bit of marketing as well. DJ Ignite. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. And Soar Nation, as I always say, you have anytime an aircraft is getting ready to take flight, it can only take flight within its maximum takeoff weight. And if you haven't heard these words before, Soar Nation, it's your time to soar.
I believe I can soar.
Thank you for listening to It's Your Time to Soar. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review.